Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday PM, February 7th, 2010.
If you'll recall last fall, we were studying in the book of Psalms. We were studying the series of Psalms within a little collection within the book of Psalms called the Hallel. And these are Psalms 113 through 118. As you'll remember, we didn't finish. We didn't have the finish with that last psalm. So let's turn to Psalm number 118 tonight. And by way of review, this series of psalms called the Hallel by the Jews was a very special series of psalms to them. The word Hallel means praise, and Hallelujah means praise ye the Lord. So these are psalms of praise that were used on times of joyful occasions, such as the three great festivals of the Jews, and especially for the Passover service. The first four were sung at the beginning of the Passover meal, and the last two were sung at the conclusion of the Passover meal. And my authorities for those are for Edersheim and David Baron and some of the commentaries. And the Psalm 113 praises God for who he is, the only God that there is. Praises him for his name, for his majesty, and for his goodness. Psalm 114 especially praises God for his majesty in bringing Israel out of Egypt and wreaking judgment on the gods of Egypt. Psalm 115 praises God for his sovereignty. He is sovereign in all his acts. Psalm 116 praises him for his graciousness. And Psalm 117 urges all the nations to join Israel in worshiping God for his steadfast love and his faithfulness, which endures forever. Now, coming to Psalm 118, we have a very interesting psalm. One of the first things to notice about this psalm of interest is in Matthew 28. No, yes, Matthew 28, 26. Matthew 26 and verse 30. But going back to the 26th verse of Matthew 26, we read, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" And then in verse 30, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives and to Gethsemane." And we do know what that psalm was. It is this 118th psalm which ended the Passover service. So let us read the psalm through first, and as we do, picture the Lord Jesus singing this psalm as he went experiencing through his life and through his sufferings, many of the prophecies of this psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love, or his mercies, as King James has it, endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called unto the Lord, and the Lord heard me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord I will cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord I will cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord I will cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them. Give thanks unto the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless thee from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So this is the psalm that Jesus sang with his disciples as he went to Gethsemane. This psalm is very interesting for another reason, too. It is a complex psalm. That is, it had more than one author, maybe more than two authors. The authorities are not quite sure which it was, one or two, but they all agreed that there is more than one author, and this psalm was written by these two at different times. This should not surprise us, for we have complex hymns in our hymnal too. In page number 286 in our hymnal, we have the song, The Love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. You know the song. And the last verse, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That was written by Meyer ben Isaac Nehoral, a 14th century Jewish poet. The first and second verses of this song were written in the 20th century by Frederick Lehmann and Claudia Lehmann Mays, and who also wrote the music to this psalm. We have another complex song in our hymnal too. It is number 282. Surely goodness and mercy. I remember in the 1940s, we used to sing the chorus to this song, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, as a chorus only. But then later in the 50s, Alfred B. Smith and John W. Peterson completed this song into a song. Alfred B. Smith wrote the first and second verses to it, or wrote the three verses to the song and attached them to the chorus, and John W. Peterson wrote the music. So this is not a unique thing that a song should have more than one author, but it's very interesting to look at the psalm this way, because psalm or verses 5 through 18 seem to be complete psalm in themselves. And all of the authorities, both Jewish and Christian, seem to agree that this verses 5 through 18 were written by David, for it certainly expresses the life of David. Out of my distress I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. And this is quoted in the book of Hebrews. And the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. There were many who hated David, including his own sovereign whom he served. He was chased like a rabbit here and there throughout his country and even into foreign countries. But he, as someone mentioned this morning, he encouraged himself in the Lord. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord has become my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Don't you think that describes David's life experience? Don't you think Jesus identified with this as he sang this with his disciples on that night just before going out to Gethsemane? All nations surrounded me. They surrounded me on every side. They surrounded me like bees. I was pushed hard so that I was falling. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is on my side. I think our Lord identified very closely with this psalm. It is a psalm in some ways sad, and yet in some other ways triumphant, that though David and even our Lord in his humanity and we are, as he said, pushed hard, the Lord is on our side. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is our deliverance. And the last part of this psalm from verse 19, it is a completely different air. Notice that as we read it. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them. Give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. It is the day of the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will extol you. This is a completely different psalm welded to the former. And in the New Testament times, as the authorities, both Jewish and Christian, tell us, this was a processional psalm for pilgrims and worshipers gathering in Jerusalem to proceed in procession from their gathering place up to the temple and requesting entry into the temple to open the gates. And they enter through the gates into the temple to offer their sacrifice. And then the first four verses are a prelude to that. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. All of the authorities are of the opinion that this was a dedicatory psalm for the completion of the temple by Solomon. David's life was often bitter. He was involved in many battles, but his chief desire was to build a temple for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, because the Philistines had overrun the country. They had destroyed the tabernacle at Shiloh, and they had captured the Ark of the Covenant. And you remember how when the Ark was in the land of the Philistines, how when they placed it into the temple of their god Dagon and placed it before him as an offering to Dagon in the morning, they found that Dagon had fallen over and broken his head off. And you remember that story. And they held the Ark of the Lord. This was a grief to David. But you remember the story also how the Philistines decided that it wasn't a good idea to keep the Ark of Israel's God, because he was very displeased with them, and they became very ill. So they put the Ark on an ox cart and sent it on its way without a driver. and it went right straight back to Israel. And the Levites met it part way back at the house of Obed-Edom, and they didn't know what to do with it. There was no tabernacle to put it in. So they stored it in the house of Obed-Edom until David and the priests should decide what to do. Well, you remember the story also how David brought the threshing floor atop what the Israelites called the Mount of the Lord, because that was where Abraham had was to sacrifice Isaac, and how he was going to build the temple there. But God told him he couldn't. But Solomon, his son, would. So David spent the rest of his life gathering the materials for the temple together. So that by the time it came that Solomon was to build a temple, all of the materials were sitting on site. And we read in the book of Chronicles that when they built the temple, that there was not heard the sound of a hammer or saw in all of the area as they erected this song. Well, we also read in Chronicles and in 2 Kings of the joyful dedication of the temple by Solomon and the priests. And this psalm, they pulled David's psalm of his grief and his disappointments and his sorrow and his suffering, and they welded it to a psalm of triumph and praise for the completion of the temple. And in New Testament times, it was customary on the festival days for groups of people to gather together and to sing this psalm as they went into the temple to worship and to offer their sacrifices. This is psalm is quoted in the New Testament. It's quoted where he said, "The Lord is on my side. What shall man do unto me?" It is also quoted in the second part of this psalm. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." This had to have been a very striking experience for it to be forever recorded in the liturgy of the temple. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." And Jesus himself referred to this in the Gospels. And Paul referred to it in his writings as Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And the Apostle Peter referred to it in his writings too. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And tradition has it, Jewish tradition, that seems to be justified by this psalm here, that David had gathered all the materials and placed it on site so that his son Solomon would have it all ready when it came his time to build it. But that there was an oddly shaped stone there. Now remember, David had planned, made all of the plans for it. You didn't know David was an architect, did you? But he made all the plans for this temple and had all of the material made to order. So there was an odd shaped stone here that as they built the temple, it was always in the way. And they would push it here, and they would push it there. And it never seemed to fit any place. And they took it over to the edge of the temple site to roll it down into the Hinnom Valley. But suddenly someone began to see where it went. It was the chief cornerstone of the temple. In Jewish believers, several of them, Edersheim for one, and David Baron for another, tell their Jewish people, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of the house of Israel. But he had been pushed here and there and ignored and despised, and his memory tried to be erased by the Jewish people all these years. But the time will come when they will see how he fits into their nation. That time is yet future. But for us, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of the church. And if we only know it, he is the chief cornerstone of each of our lives. So this psalm is a very particular psalm. And picture in your own mind the worshipers gathering below the temple site into a large group. And as they wend their way, with the priests going before them up the mountain to the temple site, and they come to the outer gates of the temple, and they say, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord." This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it, the priests call from the inside as they open the gate of the temple. "I thank you that you have answered me," the caller from the outside says, "and have become my salvation," addressed to God. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success." Now, this also is a very particular thing to note, for we read in the 26th chapter, or 22nd chapter of Matthew. I thought I had it written down here. Where it's in the 23rd chapter, the last verse, where Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem. They have already rejected him. They have already plotted his death. He knew what was coming, though his disciples didn't seem to grasp it. And here he sits in Jerusalem and says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as the hen gathers her chicks under her wing, and you would not? See, your house is left unto you desolate," that is the temple. "For I tell you that you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" That time has not yet come. But back in the 22nd chapter, where Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, and Remember, the crowds went about him, and they said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That was a different crowd than what Jesus was talking to here. That was the pilgrims coming from Galilee. They hailed him as the Son of David. That made the Pharisees, you remember, very angry. And they told Jesus, tell them to stop it. And he said, if they stopped, the very stones would cry out. Hosanna. It's a very rather familiar term to us who are familiar with the scriptures and with the songs of praise and worship, isn't it? But do you know what that word means, Hosanna? It is the Hebrew word meaning save us or save now. And that's what we read in this psalm here where they said, save us now, or Hosanna, we pray, O Lord, give success. Another thing to notice about this psalm is the very first verse. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is a phrase of worship that became common in Israel from the time of David on, as we will see next week. And it was often on their lips, and we'll recount it next week. But this word, for his mercy endures forever, this is one of the most blessed words in the Hebrew language, behind only the word shalom, or peace. It is the Hebrew word chesed, which is the keynote to the Old Testament, just as the word grace is the keynote to the New Testament. It isn't so apparent to us because it is translated so many different ways in the English translation. It is translated tender mercies. It's translated mercies. It's translated steadfast love. It's translated covenant love. It's translated kindness. And it means all of these. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the keynote to understanding the Old Testament. It is not the Ten Commandments. It is not the apostasies of Israel. It is not the messages of judgment. It is this phrase, his steadfast love, his covenant love endures forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord.